You know, because I don't know. I guess it's just not taught in law medical school.
No, it's not. And you know, I'll tell you, I was an ER physician, emergency medicine physician, for 32 years.
Yeah.
People would come in. Now I know they had cannabis abuse syndromes, cannabis hyperemesis syndromes.
Yeah.
We had no idea. We thought they were full of crap. You know, I remember that I had a guy who came in multiple times. He sat in the middle of the ER throwing up, uncontrollable throwing up. And I know, and he told us he used weed, and we thought, oh, but weed is good for nausea. You know, you're full of crap. But it wasn't true. I mean, but we didn't know it. We had no level of understanding about it, I admit. So it's because it wasn't taught.
I was a just say no devil's weed kind of guy in the 80s and 90s, and I reversed my thinking. I didn't, you know, I even prosecuted for 12 years. Most prosecutors don't think about the laws they're prosecuting. They just do their job. Prosecutors are too enthusiastic about prosecuting certain things. They've got, like, little issues in their head. We're back with another episode of Meet Unshackled. We are here at the CBE show. It is a great show. Lots of wonderful people. Good mix of advocacy, of business, cultivators, retailers. It's all over the place here. Learning a lot about New York cannabis, New Jersey cannabis, intrastate regulations and stuff. And I'm pleased to be joined by our guest today. I'm just meeting him. I'm getting to know him right now as you're getting to know him. So you're learning what I learned. So we'll both learn a little bit about New York cannabis together and about cannabis as well. Ken, how are you doing?
Excellent. Thank you.
And Ken, so you're a
medical cannabis doctor since the law went into effect in 2016.
So you are one of the first medical cannabis doctors of New York.
And in fact, my company is Cannabis Doctors of New York.
Cannabis Doctors of New York. And is that a not-for-profit, LLC? What is that?
It's a PC.
It's a PC. Okay. Yeah. So what does it do?
It does a number of things. It started to certify patients.
Right.
But I'm very involved in education, advocacy, meeting with legislators, meeting with educational organizations. To me, as a physician, I mean, you know, it turns out that maybe 10% of medical schools teach about the endocannabinoid system. And I
really?
Think that, yes, that few. It's amazing to me. So many of my colleagues know nothing about it. And that's one of the things I'm trying to push as much as possible to educate people and get it into the medical schools.
So how did you get involved in cannabis? I mean, where did you learn? Because you're obviously it wasn't taught to you in medical school. Maybe it was taught to you in medical school, but the old-fashioned way. So exactly. How did you get to know that cannabis was a great healing medication, herbal remedy?
Well, I'll tell you a funny story. I'm a child of the 60s, so I certainly know about cannabis. I was dating a woman who lived in L.A., and she kept saying to me, you know, you should come out here and be a pot doc.
I think Jim Morrison has a song about that. L.A. woman. Okay, sorry.
Absolutely.
I just had to go there.
No, it's fine. And but, you know, to me at that point, it just seemed bogus. It seemed like people were just lining up and getting cards.
So this was recently you were dating a woman in L.A.?
2010, something
okay,
like
I
that.
I thought you were talking about the 60s.
No.
Well, I mean, maybe you've been consuming pot since the 60s. My uncle has. He's 78, was a very successful businessman. So, anyway.
I'm 76, yeah. So, you know, the 60s is when I started.
Okay, but so you're dating a lady in L.A. recently. And
she wanted me to come out there. And Jimmy Kimmel had a great thing. I don't know if you saw it. There was a man on the street interview right when medical went into effect in L.A.
Right.
And he was interviewing people who had just gotten their cards. And there was a woman. He said, well, you got your card. What is it for? And she said, well, you know, my kids, stresses, life. And I thought that was a joke. But now, since I've been doing it for 9 years, she's absolutely right. It's great for life. And I've learned that as I've been doing it. I've treated close to 2,000 patients.
So what year was that?
16.
2016. What year did you start dating her? What?
Oh, no, I was dating her in 2010.
Okay, so around in the 80s and 90s, right? Where were you on the whole marijuana thing? What? I mean, you're a doctor, you're working, you're cruising along. I mean, what?
Yeah, you know, I was not involved with policy.
Let me tell you where I was. I was like, hey, hippie, go home. Nancy Reagan told us what marijuana was about. It's going to make you crazy.
Just say no.
Just say no. That was my mindset. Now I'm 180 degrees in reverse after 2012 when I started my education about cannabis. So it took me, you know, a lot of time. So I'm just, but as a doctor in the 80s and 90s, what were you thinking?
It was recreational. And I never thought about it because now I've realized it's medical and it's spiritual. And they all mix together. But to me, it was recreational. And I was, which I was fine with. And I certainly used it occasionally. My friends did. I mean, you know.
You never thought to yourself, hey, I could prescribe that, use that as a prescription kind of thing? Just that.
I didn't really know the history of it.
You know what's a crazy thing? As you know, now that we have to adjust our thinking. Almost any substance can be therapeutical if it has a therapeutical effect.
I just read something that 80 to 90% of the people in the world...
A little closer up here, a little higher.
80 to 90% of the people in the world use botanicals as their only medicine. So, absolutely. And that's where everything started. All the drugs came from, you know, the quinine comes from the bark of a tree. So, absolutely.
And if you have a salt imbalance, the salt is a medication. It's a therapeutical substance. You know, I'm not sure if there's such a thing as a salt imbalance, but...
Oh, clearly. You know, you can have low sodium, you can have too high sodium.
Right. And so, sodium can be a drug, too. So, it's like a... I mean, I don't know why they had to poo-poo, you know, marijuana so much and the war on drugs and this whole concept.
You don't know why? You know?
No, I mean, I know why... from the stories and stuff, but it just doesn't make sense, you know?
But there were major industry pressures that allowed it to stop being... I mean, it was in the U.S. Pharmacopeia. It was an acknowledged, accepted drug from 1850 to 1937. It was there. And then they started calling it marijuana instead of cannabis to demonize it and associate it with people of color. And it worked. I mean, you've seen the movie Reefer Madness.
Yeah.
One of the greatest propaganda films of all time. It's now 90 years later, and I still have people who say, it's the killer weed, I'm afraid. You know, not true.
Yeah, so what is, I agree, we're both on the same page, you know. I'm just wondering what happened during the 80s and 90s, and your perspective as a medically trained physician. Like, you're like, you know, where were all the doctors? Where all the members of the media, the politicians, you know, all these individuals. It's such common sense now in 2010, 2024. You know, we all just, it's like a no-brainer. It's a therapeutical substance. It's a medicinal substance. Should be used for your benefit, to individual excellence, to lift you up. If it takes you down, then don't use it. You know, it's just like such common sense. But nobody spoke up, you know. I mean, it's just weird, like, you know, all these really smart people. Think of all these physicians who now look at it and say, well, of course it's a botanical therapeutical substance. Don't abuse it. Use it wisely. You know, it's just like every doctor will say that now. But like what happened?
Well, it's interesting. Yesterday I met 2 days ago with Ethan Nadelman, who started the Drug Policy Alliance.
Ethan's here?
No, he's actually in England. But oh. I had lunch with him 2 days ago.
In England?
No, here. He lives in the city.
Oh, he lives here?
Yeah.
Ethan's an old friend from, like, I love that guy.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, he's pretty amazing. And he was talking about the fact...
Is he here at the show? Is he coming?
No. He has a bunch of things in Europe. I saw him 2 days ago. No, yesterday. But he was flying that night, last night, to England. Oh. He was involved in a bunch of things.
Good for him.
Yeah.
There's a summit over there, I think, on drugs.
Well, yeah, he was doing things with psychedelics there.
Good
talking about that.
Sorry, but go ahead.
No, it's fine. And it's great that you know him, and he's amazing. Yeah. He was telling me something I didn't know, that even in the 70s and 80s, there were like 12 states that actually were pushing through laws for medical cannabis. They didn't last very long, but there was action in those years for it. I didn't know this until he told me. So
I just started kind of following in the 96, 98, Arizona, California. And, you know, it started to make a lot of sense. Then followed it a little bit more. I said, you know, it's great. Why isn't it medical? It's a botanical herbal remedy. There's thousands of them out there. You know, but it just always blows my mind how the Western doctors were so silent on it. You know, because I don't know. I guess it's just not taught in law medical school.
No, it's not. And yet, I'll tell you, I was an ER physician, emergency medicine physician, for 32 years.
Yeah.
People would come in. Now I know they had cannabis abuse syndromes, cannabis hyperemesis syndromes.
Yeah.
We had no idea. We thought they were full of crap. You know, I remember that I had a guy who came in multiple times. He sat in the middle of the ER throwing up, uncontrollable throwing up. And I know, and he told us he used weed, and we thought, oh, but weed is good for nausea. You know, you're full of crap. But it wasn't true. I mean, but we didn't know it. We had no level of understanding about it, I admit. So it's because it wasn't taught.
I was a just say no devil's weed kind of guy in the 80s and 90s, and I reversed my thinking. I didn't, you know, I had been prosecuted for 12 years. Most prosecutors don't think about the laws they're prosecuting. They just do their job. Prosecutors who are too enthusiastic about prosecuting certain things, they've got like little issues in their head. But then in 2012, when I started studying the cannabis industry, the cannabis plant, the cannabis policy, cannabis, and it opened a whole world of botanical, herbal remedies, natural remedies, alternative remedies. You know, it's a big world. And I mean, no disrespect, but you can't just rely on your doctor.
No, and you know who Carl Sagan was,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I mean, he thinks...
He owes me money. I'm just kidding.
He's dead. It's too late.
I know. I'm just joking.
But he believes that because cannabis has so many properties, medicinal, industrial, spiritual, it turned us from hunter-gatherers to an agrarian society because you had to stay in one place. You had to plant it. You had to cultivate it. You had to grow it. And we'll never know.
Yeah.
But I think to your point, it has so many benefits that it may well have been the thing that got people off the plains, off the steppes, and into communities so they could take advantage of all the benefits of the plant.
Yeah. Actually, you know, I thank the cannabis plant so much for helping me understand substance use and substance abuse because it got me to stop drinking for the most part. Because I started to reflect on my own substance use, substance abuse, and alcohol because I was so judgmental about all these cannabis people who were, you know, hippie go home, stoner this. And I was just so wrong, you know, and I had to, like, you know, come to understand and reflect. And so I love the cannabis industry and the cannabis movement. And ironically, if it wasn't for prohibition, you know, I probably would still be drinking. It's a weird thing, huh?
No, but thank God you were open-minded.
Yeah.
Because so many people are not, obviously.
I open-minded? Yeah, I guess I was.
Well, you came around.
But you know what? It just slapped me in the face over and over again when I met people that were, like, writing dissertations and smoking weed all day long. When I met people that were, like, editing magazines and smoking weed all day long. My uncle, who was a vice president of Bank of America, smoked weed all day long. And I knew he was smoking weed, but I didn't know how he did it. And then so many people from law school came out to me one after the other when my advocacy started and saying, hey, Dimitri, you know, all those people that are popping Adderalls, you know, we were smoking weed. You just didn't know it because we thought you were a conservative fuddy-duddy. And so we left you alone. And you were busy getting drunk and throwing all these parties. That's not cool, you know. But I had a deep dive of all these people saying, Dimitri, 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 for like 3 years. And you meet so many employees of the cannabis industry who are consuming responsibly and working, consuming responsibly and working, balancing themselves out, relaxing themselves at night. You know, it's no different than one or two drinks of wine when you're relaxing for the night. It's just that's therapeutical. You know, that's medicinal. You know.
Oh, absolutely.
What fascinates me is what the alcohol industry has gotten away with, pushing the recreational theme, because it seems to me like all substance use should be responsible, therapeutical, beneficial to the individual and nature. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. But again, it's about education.
Yeah.
And real education, legitimate.
So now that it's adult use, you know, in New York here, what's your primary, like the New York doctors, the doctors in New York, what do you guys do?
Well, you know, unfortunately, in New York, once it went into adult use, the patient population dropped off significantly.
Right.
Again, because there was a lack of education. And I think a lot of people feel like, why should I pay Dr. Weinberg X amount of money when I can go to an adult use place and talk to a bud tender and treat my pain, my migraines, or whatever.
Right.
And again, I think there should have been a lot more, and still needs to be a lot more education by the state about all the benefits of seeing a medical doctor, getting certified, and being able to take advantage of their expertise.
Right. And I absolutely agree with you. I mean, marijuana is a wonderful, wonderful medication, wonderful, wonderful substance, but you need guidance and you need understanding of all these different plants, consistency, and so many other things. And I think that's all coming. Do you think Schedule 3 is going to have a positive or negative impact on all this?
My feelings about it have been evolving, and I think I see it as a step along the way to descheduling.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that there's going to be a lot of advantage. I think there are two things. Ultimately, it's going to lead to hopefully descheduling, but I think the most important thing is that for 50 years, the DEA has been saying, to Schedule 1, it has no medical benefits, high abuse potential, and then 3 months ago, they said, whoops, you know what? For 50 years, we've been lying to you. It actually does have a lot of benefits, and it's not all that addictive. And so that just that conversation, or the fact that the DEA is saying that, I think is really helpful to move the conversation along and ultimately get it descheduled, which I think is what we need.
Yeah, I think it's going to get bogged down in Schedule 3 for another 10, 15, 20 years.
Please, I hope not.
Well, but you know how it is. I mean, it's been... When Colorado legalized in 2013, it's been 11 years. 11 freaking years. And it still hasn't changed. You know, and that's a purple state, you know?
Yeah, I mean, without getting into politics a lot, I think if Biden stays in office, there's a chance that it will continue to move in the right direction. I think if Trump gets in, all bets are off.
But that might be a good thing, too. Nobody knows what the hell Trump's going to do.
Including Trump.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. But Biden did promise us a lot of things he didn't deliver. So, and I think it'll be turned into Kamala's show. And who knows what she'll do. Maybe she'll feel guilty because she's next prosecutor. And she'll be like, let's focus on expungements.
Yeah.
That'd be these cats.
That would be great.
Look, I have no faith in the national system.
No, it's hard. These guys. It's hard to have faith.
Local control. I'm a states' rights guy.
Okay.
You know, just get it local. As little federal laws as possible, including, you know, if you just descheduled it, it'd be just fine.
Yes. No, I agree.
You know, so, I mean, that's what happens when you give government too much power. They have the power to eradicate a plant. You know, I always say no one in the cannabis industry who understands cannabis policy, cannabis history, cannabis laws should ever trust the government, you know, or the status quo or the system, you know?
No, I mean, look what they've done for the last 50 years.
And that means Biden or Trump, you know what I'm saying, or anything that they'll do. You know, how can you trust them?
Yeah. No, I agree.
I'm an old hippie. I'm just kidding.
No, well, I'm the old hippie.
Yeah, that's all good. So what are you looking for here at the conference today?
What is great for me is seeing old friends and networking and talking to people at the Office of Cannabis Management. I was hoping to, my girlfriend's dog needs cannabis, and I was looking for the people up there who have stuff for animals to get some products for her.
Excellent.
But it's just nice. I'm very friendly with Christine Iannuzzi, and I love being with her and all my buddies here. It's just nice. And I'm speaking tomorrow at 12.
Oh, good. What's your topic tomorrow?
It's going to be a great topic. It is the politics and medicine of cannabis.
Okay.
And it's a really good panel. I think it's going to be very informative and hopefully provocative. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, that gets me back to the Schedule 3 thing. It's going to get bogged down there for a long time. Because I can tell you, objectively, 1,000%, that it's a medicinal substance. That it's a therapeutical substance. That it can have negative impacts, can have. That's where, so it belongs in that category conceptually. Unfortunately, Schedule 3 is kind of that category. You see what I'm saying? by definition. So it fits intellectually, academically, it fits in Schedule 3, but we don't want it in Schedule 3. I mean, alcohol should actually probably be Schedule 3.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Alcohol probably should be Schedule 1. We should move alcohol into Schedule 3. There probably shouldn't exist a Schedule 3 classification system at all in the first place. It's ridiculous. But because of the fact that it does exist, intellectually, it kind of belongs there. And so it's going to be hard to get the people to move it out of there into descheduling, you know, because that would suggest an endorsement of recreational adult use marijuana. And even somebody like me, I don't endorse recreational alcohol drinking. I don't endorse recreational coffee drinking or cigar smoking or salt intake. You're not going to consume salt recreationally? Hell no. You should always use things responsibly, and especially things that could have powerful impacts, good and bad. And so that's why I see, like, you know, it just fits nicely into Schedule 3 with what Schedule 3 is and says, but we don't want it there. That's the last thing I want it there. You see what I'm saying? So it's a problem because it's going to get wedged there, I think, for decades.
I hope that's not true. But I think, to me, again, I
go
back to... No, I do know what you're saying. But I think the education part, again, is really important. And if, right. At least if it's taken out of Schedule 1, there'll be better research being able to be done. And hopefully it will be more legitimized.
Right.
And the disinformation that's been out there for so many years will start to dissipate. And I think that's important.
And when they do that research... The research is going to say everything that a Schedule 3 substance says.
Well, we'll be able to get licenses to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but all I'm saying is that, and it will get stuck in Schedule 3 because of that. Because it marijuana, like alcohol, like sugar, or like caffeine, can have a negative detrimental impact. It's a very low one. But it can have that. But it also has tremendous balancing impacts and relaxing impacts, and people deserve and have the right to it, all that stuff. But by definition, that is what Schedule 3 kind of is. So we're going to get stuck there. That's all I'm saying is that I think we're going to get stuck there forever.
Yeah. No, I hope you're wrong.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes. No, I absolutely understand. I just think, you know, I've come to believe that there are a lot of conditions, to your point, that are endocannabinoid deficiency states,
right,
like fibromyalgia. And I think we need to be thinking about things that way and approaching things that way. And I think research could be done that will look at a variety of conditions that are helped by cannabis. Maybe that will help move it out.
Well, continue the fight, and please get it off the... I mean, once it's going to go on Schedule 3 here. It's just, I think it's inevitable. Unless Biden wakes up and just does something, he's got to wake up though.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
Oh man, I hate politics. Anyways, but yeah, keep up the fight. You know, let us know how we can help you. Hopefully, if anybody in our audience wants support, Ken and Cannabis Doctors of New York, and reach out to him. Reach out to him. He's obviously a great resource for cannabis, the cannabis movement, the cannabis industry, the cannabis policy. And if there's anything we can do to help you, let me know.
I appreciate it. Please go to my website, Cannabis Doctors of New York, and we have a lot of information there.
Well, fantastic.
No, and I appreciate being able to reach out to people.
Yeah, no, this is what we're here for, to network, to introduce people to our audience, just like we were networking here last night. I met you, and I'm like, God, we got to introduce him to our audience. So thank you for your advocacy. Thank you for your existence. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
All right.
At Neurovine, we've developed a hydroponic nutrient dosing system called the Aurora. It's advanced, easy to use, and competitively priced. The Aurora can be used in both small and large-scale facilities and works great for recirculating and drained-away systems. We've got clients saving 2 to 3 hours of labor every day and getting 15% increases in their yield. You can control the Aurora directly from your smartphone or computer so you can grow on vacation. Automation is the future of agriculture, and Neurovine is the future of automation.
Neurovine City, boy.
Neuromods in it.
Loving the system, man. Loving the system. Happy customer right here. This is a stand-up machine. This is something else.
I mean, they're hungry. They eat. I don't have to come out here daily to look at my phone and make sure it's doing the right thing. I love it.
Having the level of precision from the peristaltic pumps, which can be down to the milliliter, is awesome. By having such resolution and precision, we can also push the envelope of growth, and that has really helped us.
I think the system is more modular than other products. It's also, I think, a better value in general. The software that you get in the cloud and the physical hardware, it's a really effective system.
The plants are growing huge. The system really gives it full potential.
In this business, this takes the cake.
I love everything about it. I mean, hands down, I love everything about it.
The results are, you know, above and beyond what I expect, you know.
It's a pleasure to be working with you, man.
Thank you.
Really appreciate
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot.